You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all great.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Just the two meetings this Sunday, racing on the flat at both Bath and Force Last, but still plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. Hi, Andrew.
Greetings, Mark. I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Thank you very much. We're going to have a quick look back at what happened at Doncaster on Saturday as well. It was, of course, William Hill St. Ledger Day there. And then we'll get stuck into Andrew's thoughts for Sunday. Magnificent day on Saturday at Doncaster. There were several decent races. The big race, of course, was the William Hill St. Ledger. It looked a real open renewal going into the race. And in the end, Capri came out on top. Another classic winner for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. A first St. Ledger success for Ryan Moore, in fact. Crystal Ocean in second place. Stradivarius home in third. Right horses in the right kind of places at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think several people were of the opinion that in previous weaker years, any one of the first half dozen in the markets could have been a short price favourite for this race. And five of the first six in the betting came home in the first five places, led home by Capri, as you say, the 3-1 favourite, trained by Aidan O'Brien. And it was a case of a Ballydoyle tactical masterclass, really. They bossed the race from the early stages. Their four runners filled the first four positions in the early parts of the race, and it was Capri who got first run on Crystal Ocean, who travelled extremely well. That one challenged down the middle of the track. Stradivarius came up the inner, but Ryan Moore was at his best, and Capri managed to hold them off by half a length. And the second and third separated by a short head. So we had we're treated to a really close finish. And as you say, the right horses were fighting out the finish. So a great race. And yeah. The only one of the market leaders to disappoint, really, was Defoe, who seemed to find the ground a shade too fast. Having been impressive on soft and heavy going earlier in the season, and perhaps this step up to Group 1 company, all the much quicker going than he'd faced at Newbury last time, was just a touch too much, really.
Mm. We did, of course, pay four places in the St. Ledger here at William Hill as well. So if you did back Rekindling here with us at William Hill, you'd have got paid out each way on the Joseph O'Brien runner as well. Capri beating Crystal Ocean, Stradivarius and Rekindling in the 2017 William Hill St. Ledger. That was a cracker. We had some decent racing before that on the card as well, so we'll just have a quick spin through some of the other races. Champagne Stakes next, a Group 2 for the Colts and Geldings. C. Henge the winner. Hagerman was the runner-up. Mythical Magic was back in third. He's obviously got plenty of talent. I think the line was he's quirky but clearly talented in commentary there for C. Henge. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I don't think if I was the owner of a Group 2 winner, I'd be happy that the commentator would describe my winner as quirky as he crossed the line on only his third career outing. But having won on debut, which is quite rare for an Aidan O'Brien runner, he ran fifth to Expert Eye, of course, who's favourite for the 2,000 guineas at Goodwood. And that form has been well advertised. Mildenberg, the third for Mark Johnson, won next time out. The fourth, James Garfield, was beaten a nose by Wells Fargo on his next start. And C. Henge, fifth in that race, is further frank the form. So anybody who's on Expert Eye at fancy prices for next year's guineas can take heart from this result. But yes, C. Henge is far from the finished article yet, and is obviously another exciting prospect. And we're likely to see him again, I would imagine, this season. He's in the Dewhurst, the Racing Post Trophy, and you would imagine a return to Doncaster for that race at the end of October could be well be on the cards.
Yeah, clearly a talented performer. C. Henge, the Park Stakes was the second race on the card, another Group 2 taking place on the Saturday, and Acclaim was the winner, a big winner for Martin Mead and Ashin Murphy. Nathra in second position. Home of the Brave was back in third. And what did you make of a claim coming home in front there?
Yeah, certainly a deserved win. He'd yet to get his head in front this season, but he'd run some cracking races in defeat, notably in the pre-Maurice de Geest at Deauville last time, when a half-length second to Brando was a 28-1 shot that day. And, yeah, it was a game performance. But just going back to the Champagne Stakes, I think runner-up Hey Gamin is definitely worth a mention as well, because it's not been easy to make all at Doncaster this week. And he kept pulling out more when challenged. He was only beaten a neck. And I think Newmarket will suit him, the Rolly Mile, where that's, you know, it can be hard to come from off the pace. So Hey Gamin gets the rail and the Dewhurst, he could perhaps make all. So that'll be interesting if the pair clash again in that contest.
We should mention the William Hill Portland as well. Very competitive start to the card on Saturday.
We're not allowed to mention this race because my anti-post pick, Spring Loaded, won the race at 12-1, and I changed my mind because I thought he was poorly drawn in stall 22 of 22. So I switched allegiance to Vibrant Chords, who of course ran second to Spring Loaded, who absolutely hacked up by 3.5 lengths. Yeah, Spring Loaded, a couple of runs ago, ran in the Ice Age race at Windsor. A race that's worked out really well. Ice Age, of course, followed up in Ireland, and several other winners and good performances have come out of that race. And Spring Loaded was the best of those who were ridden patiently in that contest. And again, next time out at Chester, was poorly drawn, finishing third from stall 9. So he deserved that, but I was hoping I'd be on when he won, and I wasn't today. So, yeah, well done to all concerned, but commiserations to me.
Yeah, and unlucky. Qualified via the Andrew Mount will win next time out system, whenever you say that. Yeah, seems to win the day
it's
off.
Funny. And the third in the Portlands was Just Another Bottle, who was a big price winner earlier in the season at Nottingham, 25-1 back on the 12th of April. I was in the studio and suggested that he was poorly drawn and might be one to back next time. And he came out of stall 1 and made all, and for a 4.5 length win. So I should know by now that whenever I say this one might be poorly drawn today, back him next time. Don't bother. At least have a couple of quid on just in case.
Spring Loaded beating Vibrant Chords, Just Another Bottle, and Lexington Abbey there. And we also paid 5 places in the Portland. So if you backed Piper's Note, you will have been paid out each way on Piper's Note as well. Superb day to conclude the William Hill St. Ledger Festival. And this year's William Hill St. Ledger winner then was Capri for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Let's leave that there. Let's stop looking back and start looking forward. Andrew, we've got two races that you have picked out for Sunday. The first of them is the 245 at Bath. And this is Division 2 of this particular handicap. The extended 5 furlongs is the trip here. Just the 17 of them to go to post for this sprint, so you've picked a nice easy race.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's that kind of day tomorrow. There's only the two meetings, and none of the racing looks particularly easy to decipher. But the one I've gone for in this race is probably going to be a big price, and that's number 2, Rapid Rise, coming out of stall 10 in this 17 runner handicap for Milton Bradley, ridden by Josephine Gordon. Now, I like to be drawn middle to high at Bath, particularly when the ground's on the slower side. And this one ran an absolute blinder on debut for the yard at Wolverhampton last month, finishing 5th of the 8 runners at 20-1. Now, that was a day, as it often has been this summer at Wolverhampton, when it was very difficult to come from off the pace. The winner made all. The runner-up sat in second throughout, was described as chase winner. And the fourth was also chase leaders. So of the horses who raced from off the pace that day, a few of them have run well since. The third home, Suwan, was 9-4 favourite, was described as held up, pulled hard. Next time out, he won at Musselburgh. And then earlier this week was second by a head at Doncaster at 16-1. The sixth in that race, Genie, was held up in rear. And that came out and ran second to Suwan at Musselburgh next time. So Rapid Rise, after that performance, I decided to back him at Kempton next time. But drawn out wide in a slowly run contest, he could just never get involved at all. I think we can draw a line through that one with a bigger field, stronger pace and a stiff uphill finish. And Josephine Gordon taking over in the saddle. I think Rapid Rise could give us a run for our money at likely decent odds here.
Okay, like it's a bit of value, Rapid Rise perhaps in that 245 at Bath then. And we move over to Force Last for their next race, the 330, or the next race that we look at on here. That's a Phillies handicap over a mile, a field of 12. Set to go to post for this one. Not all that much recent winning form coming into the race. I did have a little bit of a look at the Bear Cannon Fly, who showed a little bit of promise in maidens, and the form of that recent effort has been boosted a couple of times since. But what are your thoughts on the race?
Yeah, it's interesting. At Fosslas recently, it's been very difficult to come from off the pace. We had two meetings in August, 14 races in total. Five of the winners made all. Eight of them were described as track leaders or chase leaders, and only one of the 14 was held up. So looking at the pace map for this race, it looks like there's only one front runner in this particular contest, and that's number eight, Imperial Link. And this one's only had six runs over a mile or shorter on soft or heavy ground in his career, in her career, I should say, and she's won three of the six, including here at Fosslas. So ran a fair third last time out at Chepstow, a mile on good to soft, described as sort of led to halfway, and led to halfway, sorry, and then stayed on again once headed, pulled sort of well clear of some of the market principles further behind her that day. And yeah, I think she'll get the run of the race. And if the track's riding like it has been at the last couple of meetings, then she could be hard to peg back and should be an each-way price again.
All right, could be a nice each-way double then, perhaps, if you put the two together. Imperial Link, the pick for Andrew in that 3:30. If we were to say these were your best two bets for Sunday, then which order would you rank them in? Which would be the Nap and which would be the next best?
I would say, although she's probably going to be the biggest price, I would say Rapid Rise in the 2:45 at Bath.
Okay.
Yeah, there is another one to keep an eye on. As she ran today at Musselburgh on Saturday, and that's in the 3:45, Aqua Dabra for Mick Shannon. Now, this one sort of travelled quite strongly before sort of finishing in mid-division, 7th of 14 at Musselburgh, when ridden by a £7 claimer. But he's got David Egan booked for this one. And when Mick Shannon's got a terrible record overall with £7 claiming jockeys, but when he switches those to a sort of £3 or £5 claimer next time out, they do have a particularly good strike rate. So if Aqua Dabra, a course and distance winner, makes a quick return on Sunday, don't be surprised to see that one go well at what should also be decent odds.
OK, see if Aqua Dabra runs then in that 3:45. Bit of a Brucey bonus selection for you there as well. Thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go then, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Bath and Fosslas. The two clear meeting is Fosslas as well. So if you find a race there with six or more runners and you find the winner and he goes on to score by two or more lengths, you get 15% added to your winnings as a free bet as well. You can hear the action with Ollie, John and Paddy. Tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.